morning. We'll start with prayer and we'll get going. We're in midway through chapter 15 of Judges. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the rain that you've sent. We thank you for your blessings to us. Lord, we pray that you'll reveal yourself to us through your word, that you'll open it up to us, plant it in our heart, Lord, and may it be ground down into our spirit so that we can live a life worthy of the calling that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let me real quickly go over something here. Last week I made a comment about not wanting to be like Samson or even King David in the Bible. There were a couple of people that kind of took exception to that, and I understand why. Trying to get through this class in 25 minutes, it's hard sometimes for me to fully explain or to articulate what I'm saying. And what I was talking about was, although we can look at other people and we can look at attributes in their life and we see positive attributes that we want to emulate, to make myself like someone is really, it's shooting low. Okay? We've talked about before, it was a couple years ago, about the law of Moses or the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and that word Torah that we always translate into law, but really a better translation is instruction. And it comes from the root word yara, and it's an archery term. And it has to do with shooting it at a target. And it's instruction on how to hit the target is basically what it is. So what we look at in the first five books, what Moses had, what David had, what Samson had, was those instructions in the first five books that tells us what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to hit the target. Now, we just celebrated Christmas, right? And we know from the New Testament, we know that that word, that Torah, became flesh, and what? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us in the form of God's Son, in Jesus. So, what was the target on paper then became a walking target, a moving target, a human target. So there's only one flesh and blood target that I'm ever supposed to aim at, and that's Him. If I aim towards Him, I aim towards God. If I aim towards Him, I'm aiming towards being like what God has called me to be. If I aim towards any one of you, I'm aiming at a target that's drawn up on the barn, and I'm standing 3 feet away, I'll hit it. I won't be right, but I'll hit it. If you aim at being like me, you'll hit it. It'll be easy. Trust me, you'll easily accomplish that goal. But you might as well just be pointing at the ground and shooting at the ground because you're not hitting the target that God wants you to hit. I'm not the target God wants you to hit. Okay, I can guarantee you that. I guarantee none of y'all are the target that I want to hit. None of us are. There is one target that I want to hit. You're especially not the target that I want to hit. But although sometimes I do want to hit you. But there is only one person who has ever walked on this earth that I want to say I want to be exactly like that. And it's not Samson, it's not David, it's not Solomon, it's not anybody but Jesus. Right? Okay, so that's what I meant by that. Now, we get back into Judges chapter 15, and really this has something to do with what we'll talk about today. Starting at verse 9, now we got through the part where he had gone to the wedding and he had set the foxes on fire and sent them out through there, right, and burned everything down. And now he's left and he's there at the cleft of the rock in Etam. Now the Philistines, it's time for the Philistines to retaliate. I'm going to go through 15 and 16 real quickly here. And hopefully y'all all read it this past week. So the Philistines come, and they come to the Israelites, and they say, hey, give us Samson. The Israelites are pretty upset that Samson has gone and poked the bear. And so you'll see here, in verse 11 to 15, 3,000 men from Judah go down to Etam to find Samson and tell him to come back. They're going to take him, they're going to take him back, and they're going to hand him over to the Philistines. Okay? Samson makes them promise, say, okay, guys, go ahead and tie me up. Just promise you don't kill me yourself. And they say, okay. So they tie him up, which was a waste of time, but they tie him up and they take him on down there and they turn him over to the Philistines. So when they get there to the Philistines, what does Samson do? This is when he picks up the jawbone and he kills 1,000 men, 1,000 Philistines, right? Then he gets done with that, and here in verse 18, he says this thing to God, and it's kind of funny. You have granted this great deliverance by the hand of your servant. So now, will I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and the water came out of it. And when he drank, he regained his strength and revived. So Samson gets finished killing these 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of the ass, and he's thirsty. Complains about being thirsty. God provides him water. You notice this pattern continues on with Samson, right? Samson, I want it. I want it now. I want it. I want it now. Everything's an immediate thing with Samson. Then after this, Samson goes down, starting here in chapter 16. Samson goes down to Gaza. He visits a prostitute down there. The people of Gaza decide that they're going to wait, and they're going to catch Samson. Samson gets up at midnight, goes out, picks up the gates of the city, pulls the posts and beams and everything up, and carries them all the way from Gaza all the way to where? Where does it say he goes? You remember? Carries them all the way to a mountaintop near Hebron. Now, I don't know if that sounds like a big deal. Well, it's a big deal that he pulled up the gates and the posts and everything, put it on his back. But that's about 37 miles. So not only did he pull the gate up, and these are big doors, okay? Not only does he pull this up, but he takes it about 37 miles before he drops it. And then after this, now what are we seeing here? We continue to see these huge, big feats of strength, these mighty things that Samson does. Why? These superhuman, other than human things that he does. Why? Because like we talked about when we started talking about Samson, Samson is no different than any other man. Okay, the way we depict Samson in kids' books and even in pictures that we see as adults is really misleading. Samson shouldn't be depicted as this guy with long hair and these, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger arms and stuff. Samson ought to look like me. Samson ought to look like you. The only thing big about Samson is his God. Samson can do, and we'll see this here in chapter 16. So he falls in love with this woman named Delilah. And the Philistines come to her, and they promise, the lords of the Philistines promise to give her 1,100 pieces of silver each. Each one of them. Now, it doesn't say how many men this is, but it's enough to persuade her if she can get Samson to tell her how he can be defeated. And so she starts in on him. And what does he come up with? He comes up with three things. He says, well, if they bind me with fresh cords that have never been dried, okay, then I'll be weak like anybody else. That's in chapter 7. And so he goes to sleep and she does it. And the Philistines, and she says, the Philistines are here, and he jumps up and he tears them off. Now, you would think yeah, I know. Remember, this is Samson we're talking about. Okay, so she basically said, boo-hoo, you lied to me. How can you be so mean? There in verse 10. And he says, okay, well, if they, in verse 11, if they only bind me with new ropes that have never been used for work, then I'll be weak like any other man. So she ties him up with new ropes that have never been used for work and says, Samson, Samson, the Philistines are coming. And he jumps up, rips them off, right? No effect on him. So she says there in verse 13, up to now you've mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you can be bound. So, there he goes again. If you weave the locks of my hair on my head into the web of a loom, and she does it. And then she says, The Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he woke from his sleep, pulled away the pin of the loom of the web, and it had no effect on him. She says, "Oh, how can you say you love me when your heart is not with me? This is three times you've deceived me and not told me where your great strength comes from." Now, you think he'd say, "Well, this is three times you've tied me up with stuff." But he doesn't do that, okay? So, verse 16. "Now, it came about when she nagged him daily with her speeches and kept bothering him, his soul was annoyed to death. So, he divulged to her all that was in his heart and said to her, 'No razor has ever been upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, then my strength will be gone from me, and I will be weak like any other man.'" So, he goes to sleep in her lap. She shaves his head. And then she says, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." Now, we're about to hear one of the most sad verses in all of Scripture. "When he awoke from his sleep, he thought, 'I'll go out as the other times and shake myself off.' He did not comprehend that the Lord had departed from him." That's one of the saddest things in all of Scripture right there. He did not realize that the Spirit of God was no longer on him. "So the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with bronze chains, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow after it was shaved off." Think about that. He did not comprehend that the Spirit of the Lord, or the Spirit of Adonai, had departed from him. How can that be? Think about it. How in the world can that be? And is that something that is possible? I mean, we can easily go past this, and it's easy to joke about how stupid Samson is for acting this way and doing this stuff and not realizing what is going on. But we talked about this last week, how Samson just wants what Samson wants all the time. And Samson's problem is Samson won't tell himself no. Samson sees something and he goes and gets it. And it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if he's supposed to have it or not. It's just Samson is always going after what Samson wants. Now, he is God's anointed. He has been chosen to do great things for God. The Spirit of God comes on him and does things. But it's kind of like in 1 Samuel 16 when we see King Saul. And King Saul kind of does what Samson does. King Saul does what he wants to do. And in doing so, he goes to that certain point where God says, "All right, that's enough. I've messed around with you long enough." And the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Saul was anointed to be king. Saul was selected by God. The Spirit of God had come on Saul to do things. But the Spirit of God departed from him. What about David? And we've talked about David before, but David, we get into some different things when we talk, and there's a difference between Saul and Samson, and what happens with them, and what happens with David. Because none of these men are perfect. We've already discussed that, right? None of them are perfect. But we see something different when we look at David, who was not a perfect man, and Samson. David's heart was different than the others. One thing we see with both Samson, and then you'll see later in 1 Samuel with Saul, both of these guys loved the world and loved what the world had to offer to them. Both of them were very prideful men. "Look what I can do. Look what I can do." And neither one of them could do anything apart from God. But they still looked at it as, look what I have done. David's was different. In fact, when we go into Psalm 51, David even, when he basically begs the Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me, right? Well, what does he say leading up? He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit. In Hebrew, it's the Ruach HaKodesh, is the breath of God. Don't take that away from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. In all these things, what does David do? David, in all of this, the action is all on God. Okay? David is in his heart, he's telling God, look, I realize that you are the one who will create a clean heart in me. Okay? You will renew this spirit within me. It's not up to me. I cannot create a clean heart within myself. I can't make this thing happen within myself. This is something that you have to do. And I think this is something that Samson has missed. And I think I think we need to pay close attention to what's going on here with Samson. Because Samson is very much like a lot of us in the fact that Samson has, and he even says here in chapter 16 to Delilah, because I have been a Nazarite since my birth. Okay? Since the very beginning. I've always been a Nazarite. And that's a trap that I think he took God's spirit for granted. And what God was using him for granted. Well, I can just go on and do what I want to. God's picked me. He's not going to leave me. I'm here for, my mom always told me, I'm special. That it. Angel of the Lord came before I was born and said, he's going to be special. He's going to do good stuff. God loves me. His spirit's on me. Look at me. I'm just a regular guy. But you see how many guys I knocked out with that jawbone? God is all over me. I've got His spirit on me. It's an easy trap to fall into. It's kind of like I've been in this church since I was this big. I was saved when I was this big. I've been to Sunday school. I always bring my Bible. I always bring my tithe. I always do this. I've always been here, and we've become so accustomed to all of this. Kind of like Dylan said about Christmas last week. We can become so accustomed with all the trappings of Christmas that we miss Jesus. We can become so accustomed with Christian culture or the things that I do or don't do, my list of things that make me right in God's eyes, that God can actually say, you know, I can't work with this. I can't. If it's all you, I can't work with that. Now, somebody right now is thinking, well, does that mean that, you know, I'm saved? If I don't do right, the Holy Spirit can leave me? And I'm not saved anymore? Because somebody always asks that in their head. And, you know, there are whole denominations that go this way or that way on that. And we do not have enough time in a 25-minute class to figure that out. But I need to ask myself this. If I'm saying, well, does that mean I can be saved but not have the power of God? I think the question I need to ask is, why in the world would I want to be saved and not have the power of God? If I'm saying, well, you know, I might not be able to feed any giants, but I'm going to heaven. Something's wrong with me. Something is seriously wrong with me if I'm saying, forget all that defeat the enemy stuff. I'm just going to go about and hug up to the world and I'll see y'all on the trip up there. There's a problem with me. And there's not a problem with God. There's not a problem with the Bible. There's a problem with me if I'm thinking that way. And to tell you the truth, I can be more like Samson than I am David. I can hit that big target. Because all of us, and look, everybody does it. But that don't make it right. I mean, we all, if I spent as much time focusing on what God wants me to do, instead of worrying about whether y'all like me or not, or I fit in with this group, or I didn't look like some weirdo when I went over here, or I was just like everybody else, or I was acceptable. If I quit worrying about that and just said, am I acceptable to God? Then all of that wouldn't matter. Now, Samson, we'll see next week. Samson will get this right. But he's going to have both his eyeballs gouged out, and he's going to be broken. Because finally gets to the point where God's not going to do anything with him anymore until he gets him to the place that he wants him. The object for me as a believer is to leave this life still having my two eyeballs in. Not saying, well, I can lose all my parts and stuff, and God's going to take me anywhere. Because He can do more with me if I keep those eyeballs in. Okay, so next week we will pick up here at verse 23 of chapter 16, and we'll finish up on Samson. And then if you want to go ahead and read into 17, that's fine. We talked about this before, though. Chronologically, Samson is the last judge. From Samson, we go into 1 Samuel, where we pick up Samuel, who's actually a judge and prophet, but it's a different office. And these guys here with Micah and what goes on with Dan is actually happening back chronologically, back there at the beginning of where we started reading in Judges. Okay? It's kind of the early part of the story that's written on the end. That makes sense. All right? See y'all next week.